If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening, America. Welcome to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. But we bring educational awareness and information about judicial injustice. Cliff Ethel, how you guys doing this evening?
Good, good. Happy to be here, Sam.
Doing right. Great, thank you.
My capable co-hosts, Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. You know, we got a great show coming tonight. We got a couple of things going on. We got Alex Dorbe, he's with the Fully Informed Jury Association, and he's going to be joining us in the next half hour or so. We're going to talk about jury rights, and you know, that's been in the news quite a bit lately. I think we saw something posted online where they, you know, made a few folks a little uncomfortable, I think, in New York, because they were posting some billboards in the subway and so forth. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We also have Herman Lindsay. He's going to be on in the next hour for our exoneree moment. And so, you know, we got some good things going on there. Callers, if you'd like to call in, we can take your calls at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Cliff, let's give some shout-outs.
Yeah, we want to give a shout-out to Duke Brooks, President and General Manager of Conservative Nation Media, and also to Michael Smith, the CEO of Conservative Nation Media. Without them, you guys would not be listening to us here tonight. So we want to make them understand we appreciate you for giving us the opportunity and, you know, having a little bit of faith in us and feeling like we could pull this off.
They are great, great supporters of A Just Cause as well as the IRP6. So we appreciate that. Definitely. Also, Scott Osborne from Contending for Truth Radio.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a great supporter of ours as well. And you know, we like to say hello to Scott and give out a shout out to the Free Don Miller effort there.
Absolutely.
Because of the fact, you know, they're in the same boat doing
yeah.
the same thing. It takes all of us to work together to ensure that we right some of these wrongs that's going on out
that's
here
right.
in the land. Also, let's throw this disclaimer out there before I forget. Cliff and I and Ethel are not attorneys, and A Just Cause Coast to Coast is not a program that provides legal advice. The opinions expressed during the program by our guests and those who call in are not necessarily that of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, or ConservativeNationMedia.com. As always, we would suggest that you contact your legal professional for specific legal needs. But as usual, thank you for joining the program. Hey, some other things that's going on, and just want to remind people that we do have a petition that we have out there on change.org where we're trying to get Attorney General Eric Holder to take a look at the IRP6 case and the situation with the 200 pages that are missing from the transcript. And so you can go to change.org, do a search on IRP6, and sign up on that petition. You know, we're starting to gain a little bit of momentum. Cliff, give us a little bit of background on what's going on as far as how we got into the situation with the 200 pages missing.
Well, during the trial of the IRP6, you know, there was a sidebar that took place because the prosecutor had ended his case in chief about 10 days early. He said he was going to take 3 weeks. He ended up taking about a week and a half to present all of his witnesses. And at that point, you know, the defense, the IRP6, had to basically regroup as far as scheduling their witnesses to get out. They had a lot of people coming from the East Coast, mm-hmm. from places like, you know, Department of Homeland Security, NYPD, places in those areas. And, you know, to schedule your work schedule, you know, travel arrangements and things of that nature takes a little time, a little more than they had. And, you know, the judge kind of got upset about that. And it, when you look at it, it's like, you know, it's not their fault. The prosecutor ended his case.
Mm-hmm.
They said, hey, judge, you know, we have some local witnesses that we're able to bring in. Some of them actually did not cooperate. You know, we had the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, one of their agents that IRP was working with named Colin Reese. He just, you know, was like, well, hey, I'm at work, you know, maybe I'll show up, maybe I won't.
It's like no big deal.
Yeah,
right?
It's like no big deal. It's like, well, you were subpoenaed, you're supposed to be here in court. They pretty much got no help from the judge in that situation. Another one was FBI agent or former FBI agent Moen. And Moen, you know, they tried to subpoena him at his job. He wouldn't come out. Then the next time that the process server showed up at his house to subpoena him, a current FBI agent, you know, basically comes up to the process server and say, you're not going to serve him. This is not going to happen. If you have an issue with that, talk to the prosecutor, Matthew Kirsch. And Matthew Kirsch, this is what's really crazy about this, because in open court, he tells the judge, yeah, I've been in touch with this witness. This witness is out, you know, hunting. He's not going to be able to make it. With you or me, that would be called witness tampering.
That's right.
Yep.
We would be, at the least.
You'd be called on the carpet.
Yeah, we'd be called on the carpet. We'd probably be spending some time for doing something like that. But the judge let that go with the prosecutor.
She calls them on the side.
She calls them to a sidebar and tells them, hey, either you're going to get another witness up here, or I am going to, or one of you will take the stand. If you don't, I will close your case for you. Now, you're telling a defendant, I'm going to close your case. Mm-hmm. And that is the part of the transcript that is missing. That, with other pieces.
There's an amendment that covers that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got the Fifth Amendment that says you have the right not to – basically, you don't have to testify if you don't want to.
That's right.
In a case against you. She violates their Fifth Amendment right. And then when they ask the same day, hey, we need that transcript where you said that one of us had to get on the stand – and she's making statements to the court reporter, Darlene Martinez, that, you know, hey, how many pages are missing? Well, about 200, Your Honor. And then she makes the decision that, well, the defense, they don't need these 200 pages of transcript. And she does not allow them to get it. And this is ridiculous, because without the entire transcript, you cannot put on a full fight for your appeal. And so that is what is on the table. We're looking at over 200 pages.
Over 200 pages, Ethel. I mean, you know, it's like the thing that would help to exonerate our friends, and we're talking about the IRP6, Gary Walker, David Banks, Demetrius Harper, Dave Zerpolo, Clinton Stewart, and Kendrick Barnes. And so, you know, the thing that would help to exonerate them, the judge is stonewalling. We got attorney Mark Garagos. Attorney Cornell Johnson, as well as Tina Glandian, they're working that issue. And then attorney Gwendolyn Solomon is working the issue as far as the appeal. So, you know, we hope to report on some really good things there in the coming days. Again, that's change.org. Go out there and sign up. We want to, just like the judge compelled them to take the stand, we want to compel Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate this situation. Also, today we just had a press release go out. You know, we get asked a lot of times as to why did the IRP6 represent themselves pro se? And so there is a press release out there. You can get the link on the a-justcause.com website, as well as you can just go to prweb.com and, again, put in a search for IRP6, and you will see the latest press release. And just to give in summary, the reason they went pro se is because the court-appointed attorneys in this situation were not interested in a defense strategy as far as getting the guys off. They were more about just ensuring that they did some kind of plea deal and wanted to offer them up.
Right, and one of the things, you know, like you said, Sam, the listeners can go out there to PR Web and read that press release. But the IRP6, you know, what they wrote about going pro se, I just want to read a couple sentences.
And that's posted out there, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you look at this and you understand the magnitude of what this statement says, it says, we feel that firing our attorneys was the best and most important decision we made in fighting our case. We have no regrets whatsoever in that decision and would make the same choice again. Now, you're telling me these attorneys are supposed to be fighting for you, defending you, and you have to realize this was written when these guys have been behind bars for almost 16 months. And for them to say, you know, we feel that firing our attorneys is
the best thing,
decision,
even though
we're sitting here, even though we're still fighting this fight, we're not home yet, you know, we're dealing with the pain with it. We're dealing with the pain of our families having to go through this. But we would not change that decision, because what you have to understand is that if your attorney is not fighting for you, if your attorney does not object to the wrong things that are going on in court, if your attorney does not voice the fact that, hey, you have a problem with what's going on with something the judge does or the prosecutor does or, you know, one of the witnesses – if that attorney is not fighting for you, mm-hmm. you cannot even bring those things up in your appeal.
And not only that, Cliff, I mean, if the attorney doesn't even know what's going on in your case.
Exactly.
How can he fight for you?
That's right. And that was one of the problems.
Exactly. I mean,
you know, that's one of the items that's up for appeal as well.
Yeah.
As far as the speedy trial violation, where they just continued to ask for continuances.
Yeah.
And it just went on and on. And the situation
right.
was that they never looked into the discovery.
Nothing.
They didn't make arrangements to interview potential witnesses.
Right.
They did not do different types of analysis
right.
that the guys were suggesting that they do. They weren't considering the evidence that the guys were presenting. And so, you know, they have every right, and that is a right under
Absolutely.
The Sixth Amendment, for
Absolutely.
You to represent yourself. Absolutely. Callers, you can call in at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176, and we'll be taking callers here in just a moment. And so, Cliff, how about giving us that information there, and then we'll continue on.
Absolutely. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always
wins. Who always wins?
America.
America
All
always
right.
wins on ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. So you can, the listeners hear us talking a little bit about the IRP6. You can follow along with us by going to www.a-justcause.com or www.freetheirp6. That's the number 6.org. Again, freetheirp6.org. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. I think I got that down now. I know how to say that.
All right.
Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Also, our other website, ajcradio.com, ajcradio.com. Cliff and Ethel, we got some good things going on there, man. We're getting ready to go 24/7, and so folks can get caught up and get more in-depth coverage on the IRP6 case, more information than you could ever dream of, stuff that goes back into history as far as roundtable discussions that the IRP6 were conducting to talk about the case themselves mm-hmm. and talk about why there was evidence there to substantiate the fact that it was not criminal. And, you know, we often talk about this was a debt collection case
yeah.
that got criminalized by Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch. So anyway, on live365.com, again, live365.com, AJC Radio will be launching soon, where we will be 24/7, get more in-depth information, more in-depth coverage on the IRP6 case. Before we go to the next break, Ethel, let's jump a little bit, at least introduce this article that you found today about this judge in Texas. We always find stuff about Texas, man. I don't know what's going on.
I'm
not a Texas basher, you know, by no stretch of the imagination.
Well, neither am I.
But maybe, I don't know. But anyway, what's going on with this article?
It's just like that's just where all the action is, you know. And
well,
it's
a big state.
Yeah,
let's say
okay.
It's a big state. So there's a lot of people.
They got a lot of people.
A lot of things that go.
A lot
go.
Of stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Okay, but anyway, I was reading today, and I found this article, and it says, judge orders ex-404th district judge to prison.
Wow.
I had to read that again. I thought, ordered him to prison? I, you know what? I thought if he's guilty, I just got all happy in my get up. I thought, okay, this is awesome. Now, this district judge, his name is Lemus, Judge Lemus, worked together with other attorneys and corrupted the judiciary and the legal system.
And Cameron, okay, we're going to come back to that, Ethel. You know that sounds mean, but
okay.
We got to take this break. So A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We're going to come back and talk about the case in Texas. Also in the studio, we have Alex Dorbe. Coming up a little bit later, we have Herman Lindsay of our Exoneree Moment. Callers can call in at 718-305-7176. A Just Cause will return in just a moment.
Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat, and apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Dust Bowl, coast to coast, where we bring you information, awareness, and information education. Awareness and education about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. And my co-hosts are Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. Callers, you can call in at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Later in the program, we're going to have Alex Dorvay as well as Herman Lindsay. So for right now, let's get back to that article you were talking about, Ethel, before the break. This judge in Texas is going to prison.
Oh, he's going to prison. Him and a bunch of other corrupted attorneys and legal bandits there was taking bribes and kickbacks and crap, and they're going to prison for 6 years. 6 years. I thought, oh, yeah, that would make you want to shout.
Yeah, and you finally see something in the news that is more than, a few weeks ago we talked about this federal prosecutor that got, 10 days. In prison,
ridiculous.
Which was ridiculous.
That is
totally.
Absolutely
this,
ridiculous.
This judge here, hey, you got to give a shout out to the U.S. District Judge Andrew S. Hannon.
Hey, we know how to give honor where honor is due, right?
You got to give it to him. Yeah,
got to.
It's like so, folks out there listening, we're not about bashing the judicial system.
Oh no, when it works,
it works.
When
it works. If they allow it to work,
that's
it works.
Right.
But go ahead, Cliff. Right. I'm sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
This judge said, he basically dealt with the fact that this other judge, Lemus, who pleaded guilty to racketeering.
Mm-hmm.
They had him forfeit, almost $260,000, and he's got to make restitution of nearly $7 million to his victims. And when you think about who his victims are, it's everybody who came to this judge's courtroom.
Yeah.
They said he was throwing out motions without even having a hearing.
Oh,
all this stuff. Taking bribes, basically.
What does that sound like? Well, I don't know about the bribe part, but
not yet. We don't know about the bribe part.
And we're not going to push that one under the rug
either. It's like it resounds so many time and time again that you hear about, these federal judges that they know they're going to get away with it. So they do what they want to during these trials and these, court hearings. And nobody really deals with it. They're pretty much immune. But this judge Lemus got caught slipping on this.
Yeah, and this U.S. attorney, I really like what he said because his statement, quote, It is critical to our court system that justice is administered fairly and without any undue influence.
That's right.
And he said, we will continue our efforts against public corruption and will pursue prosecution in these matters when identified to us by our partner law enforcement agencies.
And, you know, he's pulling that right out of the Sixth Amendment.
And that's
actually
awesome.
I mean, you know, there's verbiage in the Sixth Amendment that says all of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, at least someone is recognizing the fact that we have a constitution, we have amendments that we should be living by.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you allow it to work, It's going to work.
That's right.
You know, it took them a little while to catch him. I mean, you know, there was one attorney that spoke out there in Texas, and she actually said that, you know, that there was concern that there was not outrage over this situation.
Yeah,
it's almost like people are still tipping around
right.
it
exactly.
instead of saying, you know, well, this guy was involved in all this mess even before he got caught.
Yes. Exactly.
And so, you know, they're saying, you know, that, you know, there should be outrage, but unfortunately there isn't.
Right, and she's really calling out the right people, too.
She really
she's
is,
saying,
yeah.
where is the law community? You know, people who voted for this guy.
That's
to
right.
Be the judge,
who supported him.
Right,
yeah.
who supported him, who was always mm-hmm. there, you know, who were his friends, his
right.
comrades. Where are they to basically say, you know, what he did was wrong, that that he's a criminal, he should be going to prison? And, you know, Lemus's attorney, this Chip Lewis, was, you know, trying to get him off, saying, you know, he's counsel prospective lawyers
mm-hmm.
and other lawyers who have, quote unquote, lost their way. Well, you didn't lose your way.
Yeah.
You were racketeering.
That's
you were
right.
stealing money. You were taking bribes. And so this attorney is basically trying to say, well, he cooperated, Judge. You know, maybe that should get him a little extra
leniency.
And
I like what the judge did, though.
Yeah, the judge is like
gave
like,
him more time.
That's
like,
right.
Like
he sure
no,
did.
He's not going to get any leniency. But this other attorney that you mentioned before,
mm-hmm.
The attorney Yolanda DeLeon, she said, is the damage lessened or erased because of his cooperation?
That's
now,
right.
Now he's only cooperating because he realized, like, well, hey, I'm caught. They got my fingerprints.
There
they got my bank accounts. They got all kind of witnesses. They've been doing
wiretaps,
phone taps, email taps for 5 years. I'm caught, so of course you're gonna try to. You're gonna try to say, well, I'm gonna cooperate so you can get some.
What
leniency.
Else are you gonna do?
Exactly,
oh,
but
they
I,
got a little piece
well,
of
you know,
off his
the only thing that really stinks here though is
mm-hmm.
the disparity. And I know the judge in Texas has nothing to do with the IRP 6 case,
mm-hmm.
but here when you look at the restitution and the damages mm-hmm. that have been assessed against Judge Lemus, and he's out,
out
on bond.
Yeah.
Yes.
An unsecured bond for $50,000. Right, he's got to pay back $7 million.
He's
got all this other kind of stuff,
and almost $6 million is to one.
Right, exactly. You'd be like, yeah,
one case.
The one case where he costs this company all this money that he owes back. But you look at the fact that he gets to walk around free
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
until he has to report to federal prison. It's
right.
like. Well, what about
well,
what
that's
about
if he shows up?
Right, and okay. I mean, this is a person who
talk
has,
about having the means,
right? Has the means,
has
to,
the motive,
right,
right?
Has the motive, and has said, "I'm guilty."
And
that's
said,
right.
"I'm guilty."
Right.
You know, I want to get off the hot seat, and he's got all this money.
He obviously has $7 million.
Exactly, he's got
he's
the $7
got the money.
Dollars. And so it's like, okay, but then you have other cases, like you have the IRP 6, and they have all these things on appeal. They have Fifth Amendment violation. They have a speedy trial violation.
First,
let's
back up. It was a debt collection
right,
case.
Right, a debt collection
It wasn't criminal.
Right, not even criminal.
Don't have the means.
Right, they don't have the means. They haven't had the means for years.
And
they don't
they,
have any motive.
If they did have the motive, they had plenty of time
right.
to flee.
And another crazy thing, you know, you say, well, they're a flight risk, but then we're going to put them in a prison camp that they can walk off
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm,
anytime.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what kind of sense does that even make?
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Well, anyway, enough about that one. Folks, if you want to read up a little bit more on this particular story, it's in the Brownsville Herald. Again, that's in the Brownsville Herald. And very interesting story. I know it caught Ethel's eye. You know, this actually happened a few weeks ago. But, you know, the fact that we found it, and it is very appropriate to talk about it because it fits in this particular case. So, Ethel, as far as the IRP 6 families, you know, we were handed this pamphlet earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's talking about mommies and daddies in prison. What's your cut on that?
Oh, my God. You know, this is, I was looking at the people. It says by Judy Goose and Sue Jeweler.
Right. I think there was an organization called Creative Family Project. I don't think they're in touch with going on. They're not in touch with
the
reality.
And the thing is, I was looking at that, and then I pulled up information on them, kind of their background, a little bit of their background. And they have nothing to do with anybody being in prison. I mean, it doesn't even say they've ever had anybody in prison or anything to even have to have this information to put out there.
It's probably a
grant.
But
when I looked at this, it's not the information that came from them. This information came from the Federal Bureau of Prisons itself.
Wow.
And this organization is just the one that kind of puts it all together and puts into a booklet
form. Into a pamphlet format.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
My understanding is that they were handing this out this past weekend at Florence, where the IRP 6 are incarcerated, and then there was someone down there perpetrating to like kids.
You know what? I'm not a person that's ever without words, okay? And you guys know that. You know me by now. Okay. Now, this thing, it kills me because this says, I'm just going to give you just a little bit real quick. When I came home from school one day, Daddy was not there. Mommy said that Daddy did something really bad. She said he would not be able to come home for a while. Where was Daddy? Would Mommy have to leave too? What would happen to me? Daddy didn't come back. I didn't say goodbye or hug or kiss him. I felt sad and worried. I love Daddy. I didn't know where he was. He just disappeared. He didn't just disappear.
That's
you
right.
know, they really, I this stuff really burns me up, because when you read through this pamphlet, it is telling these, you know, talking to these kids and telling them how to explain stuff when they get to school and different things like that.
Like
and,
I said, it's out of touch.
Making comparison as to them when they get in trouble at home and they're put in timeout. You know, the parent, the father has been put in timeout. That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, this
you
is
understand?
Not time. This is
it's not real.
Yeah, it is not real. And for them to put this pamphlet out, and you know, I don't blame the two ladies who wrote
Absolutely
it. I mean,
not.
They got the information from the Federal
from
Bureau
the federal,
of
that's
Prison,
right.
and they are basically giving them a fallacy of what the prison
that's
is
right.
about. Now, we go to down to Florence, Colorado to visit the IRP 6. We also did 5 years of volunteer work, you know.
At the maximum security.
Right, at the maximum security.
That's
and
right.
The pictures that they have in this pamphlet and the thing that they're saying, oh, you know, you're going to go to this place. And, you know, they got pictures of these padded chairs
yeah.
in the visitor room. Everything is all, you know, pampered. And plus, it's like, that is not real. And they should not be, you know, the Federal Bureau of Prisons should not be passing this off to say, give this to your kids, to tell them
That's
this
right.
is where their father is at.
Exactly.
Be real. Be upfront with them, because this pamphlet says, okay, you know, will I go visit my dad,
yeah.
this and this and that. But when they actually get to where their father is
That's
at,
right.
they're going to see nothing like
That's
what's
right.
in this
pamphlet.
And you know what?
Go
also
ahead, no.
with that, what burns me up about this, it's telling these kids, your parent is guilty of whatever it is that they've done.
Yeah, and what about your parent who is not guilty,
not guilty. What about
who got railroaded?
Thank you.
And the kid knows that the dad got, or the mom. I mean, let's not just
you
say dads,
what?
But
I
it's moms and
this.
Dads.
If I had somebody in prison, they was to hand me one of these things when I walk up in prison, they would probably have to have another sale. Okay? Because there is no way that you're going to hand me something like this to hand to my kid. That's just not going to happen.
That's right. This is a fantasy that they want the children to believe. This is not what's really going on. This is not what is real in the federal prison system.
Crock of crap.
And you know what? I think if people want to get a real reality check on kids and the effects that it has on families and children and wives, they need to go back into our archives.
That's
it's
right.
only been a couple of weeks since we had the IRP 6 kids
yes.
on. We had the wives on a couple of weeks before that. And, you know, these kids, they share their heart as to
right.
what is really going
That's
on.
Right.
What do I have to really deal with in school, the
That's
shame
right.
associated with it, even knowing that my dad didn't do
exactly.
anything wrong. You got, how old is Braylon?
Seven? Yeah,
seven six or seven
eight.
Years old?
Yeah.
And trying to figure out ways to, you know, cover my dad up with a blanket to jump in the back of the car.
Absolutely.
You know, it really stinks. But anyway, we're going to write a letter and talk to them about this and you know, just share our thoughts on it. But at any rate, Flip.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall in America today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with Lifeline.
LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, to get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
The dust off coast to coast, where we bring education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Callers, you can call in at 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. Got a good show going. This evening, we have Alex Dorbey in the studio with us. Alex is with an organization called the Fully Informed Jury Association. Welcome to the program, Alex.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
All right. And so, Alex, tell us a little bit about the Fully Informed Jury Association.
Okay, this is an organization that was formed by Larry Dodge and Don Doig back in 1989, and is headquartered in Helena, Montana. And it's dedicated to protecting, educating, rather, people about their rights when they sit on a jury. Now, what are jury rights? Jury rights are rights which today the federal government and most state governments do not want us to have. Let me ask everyone a question. When you're a juror and a judge gives you instructions, do you have to obey them?
So, go ahead.
You would think so.
Yes, you would think so, and most Americans believe that because that is what the judge will tell you, and that is what the government will tell you. But the surprising answer is no. Jurors do not have to obey the judge. And this is a fact of our history and goes long back to the founding of our nation, where jurors had the freedom to vote according to their consciences and to ignore the judges whenever they found it necessary. Mm-hmm. It is the duty of jurors to bring justice to the courtroom, not to enforce the law necessarily.
Right, right.
If the jury feels the law is bad, well, it's up to them to protect whoever is accused of violating that law.
And I guess that's where the thing of jury of your peers comes in.
Right.
You know, when you talk about, you know, you and we saw this in the IRP 6 case, mm-hmm. where they really didn't have a jury of their peers, and so anyway, didn't mean to interrupt you there, Alex, but continue.
Well, that's all right. And this power to ignore judges and vote their consciences is called jury nullification or jury veto power. It's an old and vitally important right for all Americans. In fact, it's our last peaceful line of defense against a corrupt and power-hungry government, because it enables us to defend our fellow citizens from unconstitutional and unjust laws, something which the government does not want us to do. So we're in a battle here. It's freedom versus tyranny, and I see tyranny spreading across this nation. Laws are multiplying endlessly, and it's becoming quite a horror for Americans convicted of them, or rather accused of them, because jury rights aren't mentioned in most courtrooms today. In fact, the judges will tell you that you have no such rights. You can't vote according to your conscience, that you must enforce the law.
Right.
Right.
This is pure bullcrap. Okay?
Yeah, and we saw that a lot in the, even when they interviewed the, you know, the one or two jurors from the case with Zimmerman. And you saw where basically the jurors came out, mm-hmm. and they said, well, we knew he had done something wrong, but the judge told us we had to go by what the law said. And what you're saying is that, you know, in your words, that's a bunch of bullcrap.
Well, you are so right about that. I have heard case after case where the jurors felt that they were required to find the defendant guilty because of what the judge told them. This is a disgrace. It's utterly disgusting. We live in a free nation, and we are not supposed to be slaves of the judge.
That's
We're
right.
free Americans who can think for ourselves
there
and support what's right, using our consciences and supporting the U.S. Constitution, where a lot of our freedoms are protected.
Yeah. Well, Alex, this one's going to floor you. And again, I mentioned this last week on the program that, you know, once we hear certain things, it's kind of like it just sticks.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a case that of an exoneree here in Colorado by the name of Lamont Banks, Alex. And when he went on trial, now he was wrongly convicted. He has since been exonerated. But when he went on trial, he was sitting, and they were getting ready to do jury selection. Mm-hmm. They had about 60 jurors in the room. They walked in, and his defense attorney, and he says that he had confidence in his defense attorney, and he says his defense attorney did a great job for him. But his defense attorney asked the pool of potential jurors, 60 of them, how many of you in this room, because Mr. Banks is sitting in the defendant chair, how many of you believe that he must have done something wrong? Every hand went up. That is scary, Alex.
Absolutely.
That is very scary. Jurors are supposed to have more brains than that.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, when you look at it and you say a judge tells them you have to do exactly what the law says. And one of the IRP 6, David Banks, you know, he had written about this before, saying that, you know, it was during the Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman trial, where he was making comments saying, you know, that the jury is supposed to judge the issues based on the spirit of the law, not just the letter, not just what is written, but what the forefathers expected for this law to do. If they say they take this law that's like, you know, stand your ground, that law is not to say, okay, I picked a fight with somebody, and when I start getting my butt kicked, I can pull out a gun and shoot a person, and that's called stand my ground. And the jury has to say, well, because the law says you can stand your ground if you feel like you're threatened, this man is not guilty or there was no crime committed. The spirit of that law says if you're being attacked, that's the spirit of the law. If you're being attacked, you have the right to defend yourself, and it was set in place so that a person who's being attacked, not I got in a fight at a bar or I went and picked a fight in somebody's neighborhood that I didn't like, and when they got the best of me, I shot them and the law is there to protect me. That is not what that law was about. And to your point, no juror should have to say I will basically convict a person or let a person off based on the fact that this is exactly what the law says. I know what's right, and I know what's wrong as an adult, and I will make a decision based on that.
Yeah,
that's very true. The spirit of the law is very important. But unfortunately, some laws have a very rotten spirit, and they're even unconstitutional and bad laws, and we should not enforce them. And it's our right as jurors to not enforce such laws, but to free people accused of violating them.
Well, you know, Alex, I'm looking at one of the pamphlets. It's the true-false pamphlet from Fully Informed Jury Association. And, you know, one of the captions here, and it makes a lot of sense to me, it says that jurors should never feel that they have to explain that I wanted to use my conscience, but the judge made us take an oath to apply the law as given to us, like it or not. And then it goes on to say that too often jurors who try to vote their consciences are talked out of it by other jurors who don't know their rights or who believe they have to reach a unanimous verdict because the judge said that a hung jury would unduly burden the taxpayers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
What about innocence or guilt?
Really?
And the fact that, you know, to your point, Sam, is that when these judges tell these jurors that, you know, you have to adhere to this law and this and that, they actually threaten the juror saying, if you don't and you cause a hung juror, not only is it going to burden the taxpayer, but also you could be held in contempt of court from holding up a trial or causing something to happen. And it totally goes outside the realm of what a jury is for. If that's the case, just put the judge in there. Don't give me a juror of my peace.
You just hit the nail on the head. Yeah. It says that right here. It says that, you know, if the jurors were supposed to judge only the facts, then their job could be done by the judge.
Exactly.
And, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
It's like if it's only supposed to be based on just strictly the law, has nothing to do with your conscience, has nothing to do with the, you know, the situation or the circumstances that are presented, then why do you need a
jury?
Yeah, go for it, Cliff.
ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
So we have Alex Dorbey in the studio with us here at Just Cause Coast to Coast. And callers, the number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. So Alex is with the Fully Informed Jury Association. And Alex, this is some interesting stuff that you're talking about here. And, you know, to the point that we were talking about, and I know you got some other information there with regard to, you know, if it was all based on facts only, I mean, you know, let's just turn it over to a judge.
Yeah, that's it. The jury is there not to support the law, but to do what's right.
Right.
And boy, is that important today, because judges say that it's their job to enforce the laws, and jurors have to, but they don't understand that jurors have to enforce justice. So we're at odds with the judge sometimes in the courtroom. And there are four states in the country which actually have jury rights built into their constitutions. Maryland, Indiana, Oregon, and Georgia all allow the jury to judge the law as well as the facts.
Okay.
So they can use their consciences in determining verdicts.
Right.
But that's not supposed to be limited to four states. I mean, I think it's disgraceful that only four states have that in their constitutions.
Wow.
Colorado should. But Colorado is rather a disgraceful state when it comes to judicial freedom. We have a lot of problems in this state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, is that one of the things that Fully Informed Jury Association is an advocate for to push these types of these rights in the other states? Is that part of the agenda?
We're trying to get them passed in every state, but we don't have a lot of support. You know, basically, the media mostly ignores us. We don't have a lot of support on TV. We get it on radio more than anywhere else.
Right. Well, you know, Alex, I think part of it has to do with the fact, and you know, we encounter it in the stories that we cover. We encounter it as we talk about the IRP6. It's one of those things where, unfortunately, we are a society where if it's not happening to me, it's not a reality. And so it's kind of like, well, I haven't been subjected to a jury that convicted me or anyone in my family. And so, therefore, you know, I don't think it's a problem. So I don't need to give it any you know, real credence, or I don't need to give it a lot of attention. But, you know, that's where, you know, we are appreciative of organizations like Fully Informed Jury Association. And that's one of the things that A Just Cause Coast to Coast does. You know, we always say we're here to bring educational awareness and information about judicial injustice. We have Alex Gourvet in the studio with us from Fully Informed Jury Association. We're going to be right back with Alex here in a moment. Jot down this number, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. A Judge Calls Coast to Coast on conservativenationmedia.com.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
The Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Sherman, Good Stewart, Ethel Lopez, and our special guest in the studio, Alex Gourvet. He's with the Fully Informed Jury Association, having some very insightful information that you're sharing with us here, Alex, as far as the Fully Informed Jury Association and the need to spread this word across the country. It looks like we only have a handful of folks who have, on the book, so to speak, where they're publicizing that there are jury rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, folks can go to, where is this, Alex? It is www.fija.org, www.fija.org. I think if you go to that website, you can find all kinds of information. They also have an 800 number that you can call. It's listed there on their website. I think it's 1-800-TELL-JURY. So 1-800-TELL-JURY. You can call that phone number, and you can actually leave a message for them to send you additional information.
You know, and looking at this pamphlet, this is something that anybody who has been notified that they're coming up for jury duty, this is something that you really want to check out. You know, they really want to take a look at that and see what options they have and what they can and cannot do and what rights they have and so forth.
You talk about hung jury,
you know,
boy.
I'm telling you.
You got 11 people in the room who are saying, well, we didn't do it this way. And you got one that's saying, well, no,
exactly.
I know what my rights are.
You know,
but you know what? I'd rather have that one person
thank
in the
you.
Jury room who is standing up according to their conscience.
That's right.
And then to have the other 11 who are saying that I'm scared of the judge.
And knowing that many people don't get a fair trial because the jurors are not aware of what their rights
look
are.
Look at the number of wrongful convictions.
I know. Right,
exactly.
Isn't that?
And if you look at this, you say, okay, well, how many times does the jury verdict go into the fact that a person is being wrongfully convicted? You know, you have a jury that says, hey, you know, we don't, all we know is what the judge told us. The judge told us you have to follow the law. And what's really disturbing about, you know, your group trying to get this out, Alex, is that I'm looking at this this article in the Washington Times, and it's saying about the billboards that are in D.C.
That's the Washington Post, I think, Cliff. Yeah.
Okay, well,
the Washington Post.
Yeah, and they...
It may have been in both. Yeah, I think it was both, yeah.
It looks like the Washington Times may have picked it up from you know, the FIJA pretty much is funded these signs to be put up on these billboards to say, hey, jurors, you have rights.
Right.
You know, that you can nullify a law that you disagree with. And now they're trying to... They're basically saying, well... It's sparking a debate on whether this is an expression of free speech or an improper attempt to tamper with the legal system. This is not tampering with the legal system. This is giving the public the information that they need.
That's
these
right.
are your rights as a juror. And the judiciary is saying, no, this is tampering with the judicial system. And it's beyond the fact of it being bogus. This is so disgusting because it shows that we still want to have control.
That's
we're the
right.
government. We don't even want to let you know what
your
right is.
That's it.
We
exactly.
don't want to let you know that mm-hmm. you as a jury can say that even based on that the law is improperly being imposed on this person,
that's
and
right.
this person is not guilty of what you're saying. And it all boils down to this business as a prison complex, this business of the judicial system sending a certain amount of people to prison and all these things that work together. But I thought this was atrocious that this expression of free speech mm-hmm. they're trying to call, that they're tampering with the legal system.
Well, you know, Cliff, you know why they got so nervous about it is because the strategic location of this billboard, you know, is in Judiciary Square at Metro Station near F Street entrance. In Washington, D.C. And so, you know, it says right here in the article that, you know, this thing made the district prosecutors, it's making them very nervous. And, you know, because of the fact that people are getting off of the subway, off the trains, mm-hmm. right there at the courthouse.
And bam, there it is.
And it's right in their face. And then they're getting ready to be, you know, part of a jury pool.
Oh, that's great.
And the last thing that's in their mind is, okay, I see this thing with big, bold letters.
It's like, yeah,
jury duty.
Yeah.
Know your rights.
Yeah.
You know?
We need much more of that in America.
That's
because
right.
far too many Americans are ignorant of this. But, you know, it has nothing to do with tampering with the justice system. In
right.
fact,
exactly.
a jury nullification is a protected right under the Ninth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Let me read you a quote from Justice William Goodloe of the Washington State Supreme Court. He said, it should be also noted that trial by jury and jury nullification were common law rights at the time of the drafting of the Constitution, and so are also included as rights retained by the people under the Ninth Amendment. And then he said, the American Revolution was fought in part to preserve the right of jury nullification. Now, he was a justice on the Washington State Supreme Court, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's absolutely right. This is a right protected by the Constitution. It is not an attack on the legal system.
Exactly.
Right.
People
That's
who
right.
say that are tyrants who do not want us to exercise our freedoms.
That's it. That's
exactly.
it. And, you know, I was reading this statement in here, and it says something is definitely wrong when the jurors feel apologetic about their verdict.
Exactly.
You know, that is horrible.
That is absolutely disgusting.
Oh,
yeah,
that
like
should never happen.
Yeah, if you feel like, okay, as a juror, I've done something wrong because I had to adhere by this law or because the judge told me that no matter what I feel or what I think or what I know, what my conscience says,
exactly.
I have to follow this law. A juror should not be coming out, like you say, Ethel, saying, you know, I'm so sorry
exactly.
for convicting this man, but I had no choice.
Yeah.
I felt like he was innocent, but the law said I had to convict him. That is, there's nothing further from the truth.
You're right. That makes us slaves. That makes us slaves to those who make the laws in this nation.
Yeah.
And we are not supposed to be slaves.
That
this
is
supposed to be a free nation, land of the free. And if people don't stand up for their rights, we're going to lose them all. And I think it's happening year by year. We are sliding closer and closer to a dictatorship in this nation.
That's right.
And so more than ever, we need to exercise our right to stand up for each other in the courtroom and just say no to bad laws.
And, you know, Alex, it says here in one of your pieces that, you know, it's a rare and courageous attorney, even to stand up in court and basically defy a judge and inform the jury that, you know, jury, you do have a right to vote your conscience. You don't have to do just what the judge says, you know, and that's in fear of or potentially being cited for contempt of court. You know?
Yeah, that is a nasty power judges have today, and they use it much too often, and they use it to suppress truth and justice in the courtroom. But I think some of the people might want to hear about the history of jury nullification.
Yeah, give it to us.
You know, we Americans, we love our freedoms, and a lot of us enjoy the freedom of speech, freedom of religion, assembly, and the press, but don't understand how we got them. And basically, it was through jury nullification that these freedoms came about, and two famous trials in particular. First was the trial of William Penn and William Meade in 1670. They were both Quaker preachers and were arrested for preaching an unlawful religion to an unlawful assembly in violation of something called the Conventicle Act. This was a law that made the Church of England the only legal church, and so you couldn't preach any other anything else, basically.
Right.
And this was back when jurors had no rights. But the brave jury in the William Penn case, they acquitted him against the judge's instruction. And so the judge fined them all. But a guy named Edward Bushnell and three other jurors refused to pay the fines, and they were imprisoned for 9 weeks.
Wow.
So over 2 months. They were really tough people. They stood up for their conscience
right.
and for what was right. Finally, they prevailed in the Court of Common Pleas, and the practice of punishing juries for their verdicts unacceptable to the courts was abolished, and from that time on, jurors were free to vote their consciences. And this case of William Penn established freedom of religion, freedom of speech, the right to peaceably assemble. And these rights became part of the English Bill of Rights, and later part of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. And there was a second case, the trial of William Penn. William Penn, I was going to say, he founded Pennsylvania and the city of Philadelphia,
right.
A lot of people don't know that. Anyway, the second trial was that of John Peter Zenger in 1735. Zenger was a New York publisher, and back then there was a seditious libel law which forbade writing anything critical of public officials, regardless of whether it was true or not. And in spite of that, Zenger printed an article exposing the corruption of the royal governor. He was arrested and put on trial. Now, fortunately, they had jury rights now, so Zenger's attorney argued jury nullification to the jury in direct opposition to the instruction of the judge. Even though the law now forbade the judge from arresting jurors or punishing them, he could still try to intimidate them. Nevertheless, the jury ignored the judge and acquitted Zenger, and this basically established freedom of the press in the colonies, and it was later adopted into the United States Constitution. So it was jury nullification which won us all these precious rights, our freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of assembly.
Which they're trying to take away now,
really?
You know?
Yes, which they're trying hard to take away.
Yeah.
At the federal level, even right here in Colorado, which does not recognize jury rights.
Yeah.
In fact, a few years ago, I wrote to every single judge in El Paso County about jury rights and asked them what their position was. No one even bothered to respond. They hold jury rights in utter contempt. The judges in El Paso County have no respect for jurors. They treat us like mere puppets, and they abuse us at will. And we shouldn't allow this to continue. We need to do something about it. Yeah, let's see. And
Well, and, you know, I think, you know, judges definitely, you know, they are good judges, and then there are those who we obviously know,
absolutely.
As we talked about at the top of the program, where, you know, you got judges who you say that they have contempt for jurors.
Yeah.
And, Cliff, you talked a little bit about a judge who even has contempt for defendants who go pro se.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, there needs to be more accountability. There needs to be more balance. When we're talking about this kind of stuff,
that's right.
And, you know, we're in the studio. With us is Alex Dorbe, and Alex is with the Fully Informed Jury Association with the Colorado Springs branch of it. If you'd like more information about the Fully Informed Jury Association, that's a mouthful, go to www.fija.org, www.fija.org. You can also call them at 1-800-CELJURY. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. On the other side of the break, we're going to have our exoneree moment, and we're going to welcome Herman Lindsay to the program. Alex, I think his case has some things to do with some bad jury decisions. So if you have a little bit of time, Alex, you can stick around with us, and we'll talk with Herman here in a few minutes. Stay right there, callers. 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. A Just Cause Coast to Coast. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. President Obama's message when it comes to the Affordable Care Act is pretty simple.
If you ask many of the opponents of this law what exactly they do differently, their answer seems to be, well, let's go back to the way things used to be. My main message today is we're not going back.
Obama kicked off a new PR blitz today designed to showcase the law's benefits. The White House says that Obama will discuss the law in some form or another every day between now and Christmas. The healthcare law's online exchange has stumbled out of the gate thanks in large part to a defective website. But Obama said today that 1 million people visited healthcare.gov yesterday, which tells him that Americans want to buy insurance under the law. The president likely believes that the more he and his administration call attention to the law, the more people will feel compelled to sign up. Until then, Obama said that he's prepared to defend it for the rest of his time in office.
We're not going to walk away from it. If I've got to fight another 3 years to make sure this law works, then that's what I'll do.
Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
fire again. Soon it'll be all over.
Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Cliff, Ethel, how you doing? We got Alex Dorvay here in the studio with us.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Talking about the Fully Informed Jury Association. That's some good information,
good
Alex.
Information.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking around with us for a little bit, Alex. Hey, Cliff, I think we have Herman Lindsay on the phones. And Herman is our exoneree moment honoree for tonight's program. And so, Herman, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay.
Awesome. Good. Thanks
how
for
you doing, guys?
Thanks for calling into the program. I see you've been kind of sitting there listening a little bit, and we talked to you a little bit last week and wanted to have you back on the program so that we can get your full story because, you know, as you've heard us talk on the program before, wrongful convictions are just – you know, no other way to put it. They're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's why Just Cause, we're out here fighting for it. And, you know, also, Herman, in the studio, we have Alex Dorvay. He's with the Fully Informed Jury Association. And he talks about some of the things that can happen in cases when juries are not fully informed. But before we talk a little bit more about that, Herman, share with our listeners your story, and then we'll get into that and talk about it a little bit.
First, I want to say thanks for having me back on the show. And my story is very kind of unique. It's not one of those ones that everybody hear about that has DNA testing or witnesses re-enchant. In my case, we definitely had no evidence to present me at the scene of the crime, period, or no one saying I participated in the crime. Back in 2006, I was arrested for murder down here in Broward County, Florida, and that's Fort Lauderdale area. And the murder had happened like 12 years ago. It was like a cold case. The leading detective on the case, he was never going to prosecute the case or arrest us. He felt like he didn't have enough probable cause. But we hit this new officer, new detective gets in. And he pulled the case off the shelf, and he decides that he want to try to play, how would I say it, let's make this person tell on this person type scenario. And I ended up going to trial on it where we had no one, like I said, we had no one speaking about I was even there at the crime. Nobody said they seen me there. Nobody said I participated. Nobody said nothing. And I got a guilty verdict. And the thing I was listening to earlier, and, you know, this is what I go about speaking about. My main thing is the jury, because we cannot find out how can a jury, 12 people with the alternates, pick, find a man guilty that's supposed to follow instructions from the judge and the prosecutors and the attorneys that this is law, and according to the law, you must find the elements of the crime. Part of the elements of the crime is that you had to find that I, Herman Lindsay, killed the victim.
Right.
And for the jury to come back, get the verdict, and there was no evidence whatsoever, no fingerprints, no eyewitness, nobody said I was there, nobody said I killed this person, nobody said they seen this or that, to come back with a guilty verdict, we have to wonder what was really in the jury's mind. Was they going by what they felt was the best story? Did the prosecutor put on the best show? And the defense attorney?
And you know, Herman, as I look at your story, one of the things that gets me is that you're talking about a murder that occurred in 1994. Is that correct?
Yes, it was 12 years later.
You mean 12 years? It was 12 years earlier from the time that you went on trial for it. And you
right.
know, one of the things that I'm looking at here as well is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not reading this correctly, but it looks like the Chief Justice in this case actually admonished the prosecutor because he was asking questions of the jury, it sounds like, during the penalty phase. And kind of,
yes.
You know, Cliff, does that not sound like jury tampering to you?
It has to be.
I mean, okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Herman.
What actually happened in the incident, I did not testify in what was called the guilt phase. In death penalty cases, you have the guilt phase and you have the penalty phase. I did not testify in the guilt phase. In the penalty phase, I decided to take the stand, and that's the phase where you're supposed to discuss characteristic stuff, why you should get the death penalty opposed to life in prison. And when I got on the stand, we was talking about the childhood and stuff, and then the prosecutor jumped up and said, while he was questioning me, he said, "Why did you kill her?" I said, "I didn't kill her. I wasn't even there." He said, "Why did you put," and he, you know, he made a big scene, like, you know, pointing a gun at a person, and he was pointing towards the jury, and he said, "Why did you sit her in the chair and you just put the trigger, boom, you killed her. Why did you kill her?" I said, "I didn't do it." So he asked me the question. He said, "So you telling me the jury who done found you guilty of murder is lying on you?" And my lawyer objected, but the judge say I had to answer the question. So I end up saying I think they were mistaken, and that's highly inflaming the jury to make the decision, get him a death penalty because he's saying y'all a lie.
Yeah, he was basically playing on the emotions
of the jury
at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, well, that's the wrong time for the jury to be acting on their conscience. And, you know, it's like, and I'm glad that the Chief Justice, you know, recognized this. Herman, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back to you and talk a little bit more about your case. Cliff.
Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightfully so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com for America Always.
listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance, inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening, because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time, for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. Cliff Stewart, Kevin Lopez, my co-host. Alex Dorbey with the Fully Informed Jury Association is here in the studio with us. On the phone, we have Herman Lindsay. He is our exoneree moment focus for this program. And then also on the line, let's bring Scott in. Scott Osborne, are you there, sir?
I am here. Talk to you guys. You guys are having a great show tonight. Some fun guests, interesting. Herman, your story is interesting, and I'm gonna look it up.
Excellent. Is Herman there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
So, Scott, okay. What's happening in your world right now?
Hey, we're just packing, getting ready to take contending for Truth Radio down to Texas. You know, you guys, you always never fail to mention Don Miller. And
we will continue to mention Don Miller,
right,
Scott.
That's right.
Well, and let me tell you, tonight's what it's all about. It all comes down to that jury. That jury is the last defense to a wrongful conviction or not. And that's what happened to Don Miller. The jury was entirely tampered with, and it would take me an hour to go through the beginning of the list. But it's exactly, and Alex, I do know you big time. I believe we're heading towards a dictatorship if we don't stop. And that's what makes this scary. You know, it's time that we fought back a little bit. It's really difficult sometimes to fight for the IRP6 and to fight for Don Miller. And, you know, people out there just kind of seem like it's no big deal, but they don't realize it can come to them real quick.
That's right. They don't realize that the train is headed to their station. And I mean, you look at what the justice, so-called justice system, can do to the normal citizen, and how they can take somebody who's innocent and basically destroy their life. How they can take a jury and say, you know, don't go off of anything that you see that shows that this person is innocent, or that you feel, or that you know. Only go off of this law that we've told you about. This is the only thing, and may not even pertain to anything that has to do with the trial. And, you know, just like Herman said,
you get a jury that convicts you, and it's like, how do you come up with a conviction when nobody even proved that I was there? There's nothing that says I was anywhere in the scene, but they come up with a conviction, and it needs to be dealt with. It needs to be stopped. And then when they're trying to, you know, when you put up a billboard to say, hey, you know, the jury has this right to come to a conclusion on their own, you know, otherwise why even have the jury there if the judge is just going to make the decision?
Yeah.
And then they want to say that you're tampering with the judicial system. That is totally, totally ridiculous.
And then they give them no evidence to go on, and then tell them not to use their conscience.
And here you have Herman, you know, spent time on death row. I mean, Herman, when you go through that, and you know, you became the 135th person to be exonerated from death row. But the fact that you were even sent there, I mean, and you were talking about how the prosecutor pretty much, you know, replayed a story, fabricated a story, if you will, to, you know, to get the jury to at this point, use their conscience.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what was going through your mind, Herman?
Amazing.
I mean, I it's hard to explain, man, because you know, every day, whether you realize it or not, anybody that is wrongfully convicted, they're scarred for life. It's just a mental battle. You know, once you've been placed in somewhere that you know you didn't commit this crime, and in my case, you know, you're facing death. You know, the same system that's supposed to protect you with due process. It's the same system that is putting me to death for something I didn't do.
Right.
But I wanted to comment on that jury thing. You know, I mean, back in the days, most of the system was pushed under the cover. They had the good old boy thing. You know, they hide everything from it. But I think one of our biggest problems that everybody is overlooking is that, you know, how they say rap influenced people to do wrong. I think also those TV shows where you got Law and Order and stuff like that, they always getting a man in that. Prosecutor is always right. The detective is always figuring it out, you know. And when a lot of people that sit on the jury think it's a game, and think this is you living in a reality TV. So if the detective says this, it's good. If the prosecutor says this is what happened, but they fail to realize neither the prosecutor, the judge, or the detective was actually there.
Right, yeah. Right.
And so many times, I mean, it is pushed into the public, like you say, with TV shows, mm-hmm. with things that you see on television, with press releases from the, from the federal prosecutor's office, the U.S. attorney's office, things like that. They press it in there that, mm-hmm. if you're indicted, you get convicted. This person was charged with this crime. They were found guilty. They were charged with something else. They were found guilty. You mm-hmm. always get in the press when somebody's found guilty, just like you got exonerated, and every exoneree that we've had on, you know, it's always said that, you know, when it comes back and we get exonerated and it's found out that we're innocent, there is no great press push that, hey, you know, this person, just like the Central Park Five, there was nothing that says, hey, you know, these men didn't do it, and push that out in the press. They were found out they were innocent and that we convicted them wrongfully. That's not put out there, mm-hmm. and that's a problem because, just like you say, it only gives the public this view that the prosecutor was right. The judge put this person on death row, and the judge was right. You know, the law enforcement went after this person, and they caught him, and they convicted him, that the whole judicial process is right, when, in fact, we see all these people that are wrongfully convicted, people who come out of prison after, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. And what about putting that in the public eye? What about putting that in the press, that these people were wrongly convicted and they got out, and now the public needs to understand that they were innocent?
Yeah.
That's a big
problem. That's not going to happen. Oh,
go
sorry
ahead.
About that. But that's not going to happen. And mm-hmm. you also overlooking the fact that how many times have you heard that the jury say that they sat there and watched it all the way through the trial, and his motions and his ways is showing that he was guilty. You know, they judged the person by the cover just by him sitting there. So they automatically assumes he's guilty, just like you say. You know, I mean, it's a bad situation, man.
Yeah, we have a very bad situation in our country today. There are so many laws, rules, and regulations that anyone can inadvertently violate one. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of 300,000 to 400,000 rules that could be considered a federal offense. No person can know all those laws.
That's right.
Anyone can break them. In fact, our problem, this is really unbelievable to me. In the United States, we have the highest concentration of inmates in the world.
That's
which
right.
Which is incredible. We're supposed to be land of the free. As of 2009, the incarceration rate in our country is 743 per 100,000. That is higher than Russia and China combined. Russia only has 577 per 100,000 and China 120. And while Americans represent only 5% of the world's population, nearly one quarter of the world's inmates are in our prisons.
Right,
We have far too many laws.
That's right.
And far too many convictions of innocent people who should not be in prison. That is why we need to bring jury nullification back to the courtroom. We need people to stand up for their rights in the courtroom. And to do that, they have to have a backbone and they have to have knowledge.
Now, Herman, what type of attorney did you have? I mean, was it a court-appointed attorney or a CJA? Who represented you?
I had special appointed attorneys, and I'm going to tell you something. I cannot say anything bad about my attorney, Christopher Pope.
Good.
Nothing. He brought everything towards, but in my case, we had a judge. This was our first death penalty case. She had just got death penalty certified, and she was allowing everything to go. And right now today, the Florida Supreme Court said my case was the worst case in history that they ever dealt with. And if you notice, I got all seven judges, and that's the first time in history in the Florida Supreme Court dealing with a death penalty case that all seven judges agreed that I was innocent. And they sent down to the chief judge of Broward, and they got her off of criminal cases.
Oh, really?
That's that now.
So the judge that ruled in your case was removed off of criminal cases?
Yes, Susan O'Connor.
Wow. We need to look that up.
Eileen O'Connor. Eileen O'Connor.
Oh, okay. And you know, Herman, I'm glad that, you know, it's refreshing to hear when someone speaks well of their attorney, even, I mean, because we know that there are good court-appointed attorneys, and we use the term from time to time. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
And we've heard other folks on air that say they had a good attorney. But when the system lets them down, and like Alex was just saying, you know, that there are certain rights that we have, but because of the way the system is designed, and then, like in your case, Herman, when you have a judge that is just going, you know, really doesn't know the system, and just kind of going along with it, you know, that's we've seen that before.
And letting all kind of atrocities happen in the courtroom.
In the courtroom, but then at the expense of Herman.
Exactly. Just saying, well, hey, this is my first rodeo, so prosecutor, go ahead, do whatever you want to railroad this guy.
I mean,
there's no judicial oversight. There's no refereeing going by the judge.
That's right.
And then this guy gets put on death row. That is totally sickening.
This is not high school debate club, you know,
right.
Mock trial,
you know,
kind of stuff.
Exactly.
This is real.
And it sounds like what happened in the IRP 6 case, you know? I mean, did you have a judge sitting there just letting the prosecutor do whatever he wanted to do?
There you go.
Right, and she joined in with
it. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Herman.
I want to show this picture to you. You have to understand, when I got released, I got no apology from any judges or state attorneys or anything. And one of the things I tried to seek for compensation, but Florida is immune to compensation. I mean, immune to being sued. Prosecutors, judges, all those they falls up under that. And
even
the reason they put in a compensation law that people who've been exonerated could be compensated, but if you have been convicted of a prior crime, you can't get that compensation law. Now, basically what I see here in Florida, I can't speak to about other states because I haven't been into their laws, but basically what Florida's saying is, if a person been in trouble before, we can lock you up and throw away the key. You get found innocent, oh, well, we don't have to do nothing. You can't do nothing to us. And see, one thing we got to get these states to do, and as he was saying earlier, we got to get them, the people that's doing the damage, to accept responsibility. We got to hold them liable some kind of way. If they stay immune to everything, they can do what they want to do, and okay, they lose their job. But look at me, I could have lost my life.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And if you look at it, my life is, I just got married. I got twins, and I got a young daughter. Wherever I try to move, it's a bike round check. When I get pulled, I'm out on conditional release. It doesn't say I was free. It said I was out on conditional release. You know, I have to deal with this for a long time.
That's right. Herman, let's come back to that thought here in just a second. I want you to hold that thought about conditional release and so forth. So we'll come back to that point. Cliff.
Let's assume that if you're listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want to supply and get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. Just go to our website, ConservativeNationMedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That'll take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to ConservativeNationMedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always is.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Shout out to Duke Brooks. Hey, Duke, and Michael Smith. Also, Scott Osborne from Contending for Truth Radio on with us for a few minutes this evening. And then our exonerate moment is Herman Lindsay. Also in the studio, we have Alex Dorvay from the Fully Informed Jury Association. So thanks to everybody for being here. Co-host Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. Callers 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. So, Scott, what do you think about this? And Herman, hold your thought. We're going to come back to that thing about conditional release. But, you know, Scott, what do you think about this? Did we lose Scott?
Scott, are you still with us?
Tell you what, let's jump back to Herman. So, Herman, you were talking a little bit about the conditional release. So explain to us, what does that mean? I mean, you know, in the state of Florida, as far as someone was found that their case, that you were wrongfully convicted, but what does that actually mean?
When the police stop me or they run my name or anything, it says that I'm on conditional release. They stop me. They usually have guns pointed at me because
wow.
they usually and when they run my name, they say I'm on conditional release for murder. Conditional release down here in Florida is like parole. It's like you are on parole or probation. It doesn't say you're exonerated.
How they put you on conditional release when it was found out when all seven judges said that you were innocent?
I'm not, but that's what their system reads.
Oh.
And I was expressing that point to say that anybody that's wrongfully convicted, after the conviction, that conviction stay on their background record. There's the conviction stay in the police department records and stuff like that. And it makes things very difficult for them.
Now, Herman, isn't there a means to get that record expunged?
I tried to, but they told me I had to wait 5 years. I done tried to get my rights back. I can't even get food stamps right now.
You know what, Herman? You are blowing me away right now because of the fact that, like Cliff said, you have seven judges in the appellate court, I assume, or the Supreme Court in Florida, who basically say that you were wrongfully convicted. Why does this man have to wait 5 years to get his record clear?
This is ridiculous.
It's record that shouldn't be there in the first place.
Exactly. It's like, I didn't do it. The Supreme Court says I didn't do it. Florida recognized that I didn't do it. Why won't they erase your record? What's the problem?
Well, first of all, I have to go through a procedure where I have to go through like a mini court hearing to show that I was innocent.
Wait a minute. So the court has and I'm not laughing, Herman. I'm just kind of
the actual judge I went through when the attorney general assistant was explaining this to her, she was blown away too, man. I mean, they got so many, they laws.
Herman, we're all sitting here shaking our heads our mouths are kind of off the floor. And, you know, and I'm looking at, you know, here in Florida, and now I understand where you're coming from as far as you haven't gotten any compensation. And it looks like Florida does have a rule, a law that was passed in 2008 that entitles wrongfully convicted folks to receive $50,000 a year as long as you don't have a prior felony conviction. And they have this thing that's called the clean hands rule or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're making you jump through all these hoops for 5 years, and what year was your exoneration?
My exoneration was 2009.
So,
and they still don't show that you're an innocent man.
I'm trying to get over this thing that he has to go through like another
It's like, why do I have to go? Okay,
to get my rights and stuff like that restored because I did time. See, that's the thing about laws. Laws, if you don't pay attention to it, they put them in act and they sound good. But if you don't pay attention to, like they say, the fine writing, you'll be thrown because it's always a contradiction there. Like they say, they trying to help ex-cons, and they put these programs out and stuff like that. I don't qualify as an ex-con, so I don't qualify for their programs. They don't have nothing for you that stipulate if you exonerate because I guess they feel like it's not going to happen.
This is so twisted. I mean, it goes back to what Alex was talking about earlier as far as over-criminalization.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many laws on the books. And, you know, you got folks like the Heritage Foundation and Just Cause and others who are fighting this kind of thing. And, you know, Congress now has the over-criminalization task force. And, you know, Congressman Sensenbrenner in Wisconsin is sitting on that. But, you know, and we're in touch with them, like, you know, every week.
Exactly.
Trying to get some kind of information. But, you know, even with that, you know, they have such a long timeline. It's so drawn out.
Yeah.
And the politics that's involved in this kind of stuff.
You
and
know, that's
and
a,
go
yeah,
ahead,
I'm
Ethel.
I'm sorry. No, I was just going to say, it's just amazing that they can always find a law out there somewhere when they want to make you guilty of something, you know, or make you look guilty. But when it's time to compensate you for a wrongful conviction or you know, show you, they don't want to look for anything on you. I mean, it's like, hey, you find it if it's there. And if you find it, we're going to fight it.
And, I mean, not just to convict, but this, you, the Supreme Court said, you're an innocent man. You never committed this crime. This should not be on your record. Now you have to go back to court and say, I now have to prove that what the Supreme Court judges said is correct so I can get my rights back. You never should have taken them from me in the first place. This is totally sick. I mean, this yeah. is ridiculous.
Well, you gotta look at it. This is my motto. When I speak by this motto, they always, politics always saying down here in Florida that we are going to be tough on crime. But my question is, who are tough on you?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
Because they could be tough as they want to do on crime and make things that sound so great, but it'd be so damaging, and they don't understand the damaging. I mean, how can you take a person that never cooked a hamburger in their life, never grilled on the grill or nothing, and you take went to college to learn business management, they go running McDonald's. True enough, they can run the business aspect, but how can you tell a man that's been flipping burgers for 15 years how to flip that burger?
Wow, wow. And you know what, Herman? There's another show that comes on Conservative Nation Media that talks about these kind of things. And, you know, some of the things that we're talking about tonight as far as constitutional rights, jury rights, bill of rights, all those rights, Cliff.
This is ridiculous. I'm floored and flabbergasted. But.
And you just missed the perfect cue.
Yeah, I did. I apologize. But anyway, America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
So, Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Our lines are still open, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. So we have in the studio with us tonight Alex Dorbe. And he's with the Fully Informed Jury Association. And then also on the phones we have Herman Lindsay. So, Alex, you know, what's your take on some of this stuff? I mean, I see you sitting there in front of your mic and you're shaking your head, and it's kind of like I'm sure you're just as amazed as we are about some of this.
Yeah, the government is out of control today, and especially prosecution. The government, in fact, breaks its own laws in prosecuting people. In fact, Judge Andrew Napolitano is a wonderful author and a fighter for freedom, and he wrote a book called Constitutional Chaos, How the Government Breaks Its Own Laws. Everyone should read that, because that is the essence of one of our main problems in America, is that the government doesn't obey the law anymore. It does whatever it has to force us under its thumb. And that is a rise of tyranny. It didn't used to be like this in America. Things are getting very much out of hand.
Right, and then they aren't held accountable when they break the law, but they want to force the greatest extent and the harshest extent of the law upon the general public, but they want to be immune from it.
Exactly. Even Congress and the president are immune from Obamacare. They forced it on the rest of us, but they don't want to be under it.
Right, right.
In fact, even the unions, which support Clinton, support Obama, are rebelling against Obama. They don't have to pay. But the little people, we have to pay.
It's a vicious cycle, man. It's a vicious cycle. Hey, Herman, stay right there. We got another break we got to take real quick. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Herman Lindsay, our exoneree, is on the phone. Also in the studio, we have Alex Dorbe,
with the Fully Informed Jury Association. A Just Cause Coast to Coast will be right back after this.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hello. I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Just Cause Coast to Coast for Greek education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez. On the phones, we have Attorney Herman Lindsay. Also in the studio, we have Alex Dorbey. We're on the downside of this one. So, Herman, what's going on now in your case? I mean, or let me ask you this. What was the tipping point? I mean, I see that you're part of the Witness to Innocence Project. And so what was the tipping point as far as getting your exoneration?
The tipping point?
Yeah, what led to you your case getting overturned and who helped to facilitate that?
Actually, I would suggest that people go to the Florida Supreme Court and read the review the oral argument video. Actually, I mean, it's amazing that in my case, my attorneys didn't have to argue. I had Jeffrey Anderson as an appeal attorney. The whole process during the oral arguments, the justices was basically attacking the prosecutor because they were saying nobody should go through what I went through, being convicted without any evidence there. If it was just a little something there that they can possibly see that he was involved or something was there, then they'll think it different, but the state produced nothing. And then the prosecutor added his misconduct to reach this man up to the degree that he's sentenced to death. So the tipping point, I'm going to tell you, I mean, this was my first appeal. I lost in trial. Florida Supreme Court got the case immediately. They went at it, and they wasn't pleased with that case.
I mean, obviously, I mean, it doesn't make their system look good when you have a situation where a gentleman like yourself ends up going to death row based on a botched case and something that, you know, so clearly that there was no evidence against you.
So, Herman, I'm looking at a petition that you have out on change.org. And tell us a little bit about that and how people can help.
Well, basically what I'm doing, I'm being honest here. You know, I put that out to get some kind of support as far as signatures to get compensation, because what I'm doing now is I'm beginning to get into lobbying, and I'm going to go up to Tallahassee and to the capitals, and I'm going to start talking to every senator throughout the state of Florida, and I'm going to try to get it fixed where I try to get some kind of compensation, but that's just the door opening. I want to get the background check thing changed, because background check should be like credit. If a person applied for housing, or like I was trying to rent a condo, they did a background check on me and declined me. One is because of that murder. You know, once a person see a murder, whether it's the background check does not say whether you was found guilty of it or whether you was innocent of it. It says you was arrested for it, you know. And that, if I was exonerated, that shouldn't be on the background check.
That's right.
You know, if a person is running, because had that not been there, majority of the things I did wrong in my life, and I know I made some bad decisions, was all before the age of 21. I'm 40 years old, going to turn 41 next year. That's almost 20 years. How can you still hold that against me? People would give me a chance. But if they see something on there, and even though I'm not guilty of it, but they see something on there, they have a different view of it, and they don't want to allow you to live in their residence or in their area. So, you know, the help I like to get to everybody is for everybody to talk to a friend and understand that one day they're going to be a potential juror. If they can tell that show that person how that everything you see on TV is not what it really is, because the stuff that's really need to be showed on TV, they don't show because that makes them look bad or whatever. But they need to tell them how many people been exonerated, how many people is being falsely accused, because I'm going to tell you, and I'm not saying black, white, green, blue, whatever. I'm saying all of us is one. That's the way I look at everybody as one. How many of all of us are actually still in prison innocent?
Exactly.
Because the jury made a bad decision. The judges railroad them. The prosecutors got their way. This system is way bigger than what we could do, and we can't change this overnight. But you got to understand, if a juror is educated of some of the things that really goes on, their decision, they're going to be more careful to convict someone. They're going to take time out and look at what it is and what it should be.
That's
because
right.
If you're elected for that jury, believe me, you got the sense to know what is good and what is bad. And if the state attorney say this is supposed to go on, you should make them sure to you in writing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, Herman, you need one less signature now. I went on and signed the petition right now on the spot. And we're also going to post a link on our websites pointing folks to that. And just to put it out there, folks can go to www.change.org, www.change.org, do a search on Herman Lindsey, and that spelling is L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y. And everyone here in our studio, Herman, is going to go out there and sign the petition.
Absolutely.
We're asking all those who are on the phones, waiting in the queue, all those who are listening online, go out to change.org and help Herman out. So Herman, you're gonna be joining us on Thursday evening as well, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're gonna have you back Thursday. We're gonna talk about this again. Probably have a lot more different listeners as well. So Herman, your closing thoughts for tonight, and then we're gonna start to wrap things up here in our studio. So your closing thoughts for tonight.
My closing thoughts tonight is that we can all make a difference. And I want everybody that's fighting, If they need me, give me a call, whether we talk over the phone or whether I can help you in person. You know, let's fight for this thing because we can make this happen, man. We can
All right.
make it happen.
And we will definitely do this.
Thanks so much, Herman.
Alex Dorbe from the Fully Informed Jury Association. Thanks for joining us. Your closing thoughts as far as, you know, some of the things that as far as jury rights are concerned.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you for having me on tonight. And I'd like to say that we have three main methods of protecting the freedoms: the voting box, the jury box, and the ammo box. Right now, the voting box is failing us. Our elected representatives are not protecting our rights. That leaves the jury box. We need to defend ourselves in the courtroom. We need to defend each other. It's a peaceful means of defense against this government. After that comes the ammo box, and God, we do not want that.
Yeah, that would be the last resort, right? The ammo box.
Amen to that.
Oh, man. So, Alex Dorbe from the Fully Informed Jury Association. You can get information from regarding the Fully Informed Jury Association at www.fija.org. Again, www.fija.org. You can also call and order up some information from them at 1-800-T-E-L-J-U-R-Y. Again, 1-800-T-E-L-J-U-R-Y. Cliff, Ethel, we are on the downside of this one. Ethel, we have not let up at all as far as reaching out to Attorney General Eric Holder.
Oh, no.
We got that telephone campaign going, so let's give that number out, please.
All right. That number is 202-514-2003 or 2005. We ask you listeners to go out there and call. Have your friends, your families, anybody you know, call that number and ask Eric Holder to take a look at that missing transcript in the case of the IRP6. And to look at other wrongly convicted people out there.
Also, as far as that goes, Ethel, we have our petition out there on change.org as well. And folks can do a search on IRP6. Again, do a search on IRP6. Sign the petition to compel Attorney General Eric Holder to release the 200 pages of transcript that Judge Christine Arguello is blocking. And, I mean, they know that court reporter Darlene Martinez, they know that she did it,
they
need to release it. We got a new press release out, the IRP6, on why the IRP6 represented themselves pro se. Again, we got the AJCRadio.com. We're going to go live on Live365.com 24/7 broadcasting, where you'll be able to get more in-depth coverage of the IRP6 case. A shout-out again, thanks to Duke Brooks, President and General Manager of ConservativeNation.org. Is that it? ConservativeNationMedia.org.
Right.
and Michael Smith. Michael Smith, CEO. So we appreciate everything that you guys are doing for us. Cliff.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to our guest, Alex Dorbe of the Fully Informed Jury Association. We appreciate you being here. To our exoneree, Herman Lindsay, we're in the fight with you. We'll let you know that we stand with you and we're going to continue to fight. Also, for all of our guests in the chat room, thank you for being with us. To our production staff, K&D Productions, we've got Dustin Jackson, Captain Kyle, and Ill Killer Girl running the control room. We want to say thank you to the AJC Radio production support team. You know, without you guys, we wouldn't get all the information that we do. And to the truth, we know you're out there. Know that you're with us, and we always appreciate it.
Hey, keep our brothers in prayer. Gary Walker, David Banks, Demetrius Harper, Clinton Stewart, Kendrick Barnes, and Dave Zerpolo. The IRP6, they will be home soon. Scott Osborne from Contending for Truth Radio. Scott, always good to hear from you.
Always,
tell
brother.
Don we say hello. We're going to keep Don Miller in our prayers as well. Folks, go out to Blog Talk Radio as well and look up Scott and the underground radio folks as they talk about Free Don Miller.
Yes, and don't forget to go out there and check out that information on the Fully Informed Jury Association. You need to be informed before you try to make a decision about somebody's life.
Okay, so A Just Cause Coast to Coast. You can find us on www.a-justcause.com. Also, more information about the IRP6 at www.freetheirp6.org. And then also AJCRadio.com. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Good night, America.